to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bibles as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
So hopefully you've turned to Mark chapter 12 by now if you want to follow along. As has been insinuated and talked about and just boldly stated, today is the last day that Jan and I are the pastors of Marion Oaks Assembly of God. And, you know, if someone knows they're going to be speaking for the last time in a certain venue, you know, or this is my last time to speak as pastor of this church. Someday maybe we'll be invited back and we'll come and we'll whatever. But it's the last time you wrestle, what do I say? What should I share? And as a pastor, it's like, God, what do you want me to share? You know, what's the most important thing to try to communicate and leave behind? And so I decided to preach on that, the most important thing. Now, you may think, how do you determine what's the most important thing? I decided to ask Jesus. So I'm going to preach for you today what Jesus said was the most important thing. All the things that we've been through over the last 21 and a half years, all the sermons preached, all the Bible studies taught, all the programs, all the victories, all the challenges, if I could leave you with one thing today, it would be this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what Jesus said was the most important thing. I want us to read from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. At the end of Jesus' life, he's in the city of Jerusalem for his last week. A lot of people are talking to him. He's doing some teaching. He's doing a lot of different things. The religious leaders are very upset. They're very angry. They want him dead. They want him discredited in the eyes of the people. He's too popular. And so there are a number of times they come and they try to combat him with words. They try to set him up with trick questions that will cause him to have to answer a certain way that the people will not have such esteem for him. And he answers every question with a response that puts it back on them. And we get to this point here in Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 28. And it says, and one of the scribes were the Bible scholars. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And he said, I'm going to give you a bonus one, okay? And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, you're right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. So when Jesus was asked, what's the most important thing? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself. And I talked about loving one another back about a month or so ago. So if you missed that, you can look it up online. But this was an issue that was debated by all the Bible scholars and all the religious leaders. They had everything all figured out. They looked at the law of Moses, all the commandments that God gave way back at the beginning, and they had them all numbered. There were 613 of them. Exactly. It's interesting that there were 365 negative ones. One negative commandment for every day. Now, you don't see one of these little devotional calendars in the Bible bookstores or online. Get this devotional calendar. Every day we'll give you a new negative commandment. No, but they may have had them back then. I don't know. But there were 248 positive ones. And they always have these discussions. Well, which is the most important? They're all important. We need to keep them all. We need to do them all. What's the most important? And it's very interesting in all the discussions and the confrontations there were between the religious leaders and Jesus. This is one area where he actually agreed with them. Because they'd already come to the conclusion that the most important thing was to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Jesus said, that's where you're right. And so he quotes from where it's listed in Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And he says, that's the answer. And we see that that message is given all through the history of God's people. When God gives the Ten Commandments, the first four are all about the relationship between people and God. The six after that are all about relationships between people, you know, man and other men and women. Relationship with God, relationship with people. Whenever God had one of his prophets speak and he had to correct his people, it was almost always one of those two things. Either they had compromised or rejected their relationship with him, or they were mistreating each other. And so he would speak through his prophets. The one verse that really kind of summarizes that message through the prophets is Micah 6:8, and I'm sure you've probably heard it. It says, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness. There's relationship among people. And to walk humbly with your God. And then we get into the New Testament. We have a statement of Jesus, and Paul echoed that, and so do so others. And basically the idea is that if we could just love God perfectly and love people perfectly, we'll always do the right thing. And there's a lot of truth to that. You still need the details to know how best to love God, how best to love people. But I can tell you that this is good marriage advice. And you know I use marriage a lot as an illustration. If you really want to have a great marriage, get two people together that really love each other. And will do everything they can for true love, which means doing what is best and wanting what is best for the other person before yourself. And if you do that, you're probably going to get it worked out. You make some little missteps along the way or whatever. And the same thing is true. If we could truly love God the right way, all the rest of the stuff would fall into place. If we could truly love others the right way, all the rest of the stuff would fall into place. And this love is so important because the Bible says we can even do all the other stuff, but without love, it's pretty much worthless. Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter, which people think God put in the Bible so that we'd have something great to read and talk about at weddings. But that's not the context. The context is the body of Christ, the family of God, and how they interact and how they use their gifts to serve God and to serve each other. And they must always do it with love. But I think the most convicting verse that talks about this is in the book of Revelation, where Jesus dictates seven letters to John to give to seven different churches. And there was one church, the church at Ephesus. And Jesus had such wonderful things to say about the church at Ephesus. He says, you're always doing the right thing. You're always working hard. You're always patiently enduring hardship. You've rejected false teachers and their teaching. You've not given up, even in the midst of difficulty and persecution. But then he says in chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, but I have this against you, that you've abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. So the most important thing is to love God, to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Every part of our being, that's what it's meant to convey. Everything you have, everything you are, surrender it, give it, use it to serve him. It's ultimately not about rules, but it's about relationship. And that's where the religious leaders got it wrong, because they were all about the rules and not the relationship. I've tried to share and communicate all through the years that we've been together here. Don't follow a person. Don't follow a pastor. Don't build your life around or your spirituality around a personality. Love Jesus. Follow Jesus. Stay faithful to Jesus. So let's look at these just really quickly, each one. First of all, love God with your heart. Love God with your heart. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with your heart and with your soul. We hear that phrase even in our culture, our heart and soul. You know, everything, heart and soul, heart and soul. It means everything within us. And we often think that that's associated with emotion, but it's more than emotion. It is talking about commitment and passion. And passion involves emotion, but it's not just emotion. It means you are so committed so devoted, so passionate about it. You know, the passion and the commitment, they go hand in hand. You know, the emotions involved, but it's a difference between emotionalism and passion. You know, if you think about when there was a point in time in your life, I hope you've all experienced this, when someone just really captured your heart. I'm talking about another human being. You know, they just totally captured your heart. Two people in love, you know, you're in that situation. You think about them all the time. You want to spend time with them. They're a very big priority in your life. In a different but similar way, that's what our relationship with God through Jesus Christ can be and should be. For those of you that are believers, that are followers of Jesus, and if you're not, we're so glad that you're here today, and Jesus would love you to choose to follow Him. But if you're a follower of Jesus, do you remember back to when you first gave your heart and your life to Him? I remember for me, it was when I was 10 years old. I was so excited, so happy, and all kinds of stories I could share that I won't take time today. I've shared them a lot over the years. But you know what? It seemed like there was something fresh and new every day. But it's still that way. And it should be all of us, for all of us in our relationship with God. Now, there's two objections sometimes that come up. Sometimes people say, but you know what? I understand what you're saying. I remember back to this. But my love has matured beyond that. I want to tell you something. Love matures. And the way we express it may change. But I want to tell you something. That same commitment and that same passion should be there. Another objection might be, but I'm not a passionate person. Yes, you are. You just may not express it the same way other people do. And you may not express it about the same things. I've seen people that you would think they were dead, except they blinked. But you put them in front of a TV with their favorite football team. Now, I'm not preaching against football. I'm just saying we are all passionate about something. We may express it differently. You know, when we had worship earlier, there were people with hands raised and clapping, singing out loud, some very quietly with heads bowed. That's fine. It doesn't matter how you choose to express it. It's just that the commitment and the passion is there. And I would ask you today, do you have that passion for Jesus Christ? Do you have that passion to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul? We must guard against apathy. I don't know if you realize this or not, but the word apathy literally means without passion. Without passion. If you're apathetic, you don't have passion. You don't have any concern. You don't have any care about anything or about whatever you're apathetic toward. And we've got to guard against that. And I want to tell you one of the greatest joys that Jan and I have had of being your pastors has been seeing people genuinely fall in love with Jesus and continue to walk with Him. And we got a lot of people like that in our church family today. And I see a lot of faces of people that have come back. Thank you again for being here on our last Sunday here. That's your story. You were a part of our family at one time for a period of time. And maybe you came already following Jesus. Maybe you discovered how to follow Jesus while you were here. And you're still following Him today. And if by some chance you came through here and you started following Jesus and you're not quite where you were, I believe that God has you here today not just to hear me preach or to say, hey, Pastor Tim and Jan are leaving and we got to be there. But I think the main reason He has you here is just to say, I still love you. And I'd love for you to come back to me and renew that relationship, renew that passion. That passion, it affects everything of our lives. It motivates us. It gives us direction. It influences everything that we say and do. And you might say, but how do I get that? You know, you can't really stir up feelings. I mean, you can do all kinds of things that might be emotional or what. But what do we do? All I can tell you is if you're struggling with your passion for God because it's not what even you believe it should be, pray. Pray that God will stir your passion. But I want to tell you something. It's not just an issue of prayer. Invest in your relationship with God. You can probably see it in your relationship with other people. The more you invest in your relationship with your spouse, with your parents, with your kids, with friends, whatever, the more passionate you'll be about that relationship. Invest in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And you will see that passion grow. I'm not trying to say you're going to have this wonderful emotional feeling all the time. Our emotions come and go. We have ups and downs. But that relationship will grow stronger and stronger. The second thing is love God with your head. I know it sounds funny, but I want them to all have an H. Love God with your heart. Love God. A little bit like, love God with your head. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind. With all your mind. You know, your heart, your passion, your emotion, even that commitment's great, but there's more to a relationship than that. Getting to know that person. You know, when I first met Pastor Jan and we started dating, it's just wonderful. Still is. But you know what really built that relationship on an even stronger foundation was not just that we loved being together and doing things, was learning more about her. Learning about her family, learning about her history, learning about her relationship with God. All those things. And there's still times we'll talk and it's like something new, you know, that I didn't know before. Or maybe I'm getting old if I just forgot. But it's like getting something new. And the same thing is true for God. You know, it's great to have, and I've said this so many times, it's great to have an emotional experience with God. And I'm so glad that God loves us and wants us to have emotional experiences. But if all your relationship with God is about an emotional experience, then you don't have the real thing. Or you don't have the whole thing. Okay? Just like people who get married or have a relationship because of all the emotions, and as soon as it's gone, the relationship is over. Same thing is true for our relationship with God. We love Him not only with our heart and soul, but with our head, with our minds. And the Bible has a lot to say about the mind. And just like there were two things I wanted to deal with under heart and soul, there's two things I want to deal with here, two misconceptions, two wrong ideas. The first one is if I want to have a relationship with God and have faith in Him, I might as well just take my brain out and throw it away. Because it's all about faith. I have to ignore science. I have to ignore facts. Because faith doesn't make a lot of sense. And that is a lie. There are a lot of questions. Verifiably, understandably, fully willing to recognize that. But not a single person in this room understands everything, about everybody and everything. And God is God. God is infinite. Nobody can understand everything about Him. But I want to tell you something. God created this world. He created the universe. And faith in science, faith in facts, do not have to contradict. I would say that if you look at faith, true faith, and you look at science, scientific facts, not just scientific theories and what they think happened and all that kind of stuff, but you look at faith, you look at facts, you look at what the Bible truly means and what it truly says, the truth about God and the way He created things, there isn't contradiction. There may be contradiction between people's opinions of what the Bible's trying to say in science, or people's opinion or theories about science and the facts of the Bible, but when you get right down to the truth of it, I believe with all my heart that there is no contradiction. I just want to emphasize that because that's a big thing that our enemy uses in our world today, in our culture, is raising all these questions and all these issues. And I know they're very real. Please understand, they're very real. But I just want to challenge you not to believe everything you read and everything you see on Facebook, even though everything on the internet is 100% true. We know that is. People act like it is. But do some research. Do some research. Oh, that sounds like... Yeah, study. Your relationship with God is not just about emotion. Get your minds involved. And the second thing I just want to deal with real quickly is the idea that I have to understand everything before I can really accept or believe it. That's not true of anything else in life. Why in the world would you make that true about God and about the Bible? You know, if you had to understand exactly why and how electricity works so when you flip the switch on, it makes that light on the other side of the room or in the ceiling turn on, you'd never flip the switch. But you know it does. Now, I'm sure there's any number of you that can explain in great detail why it works. But think about most of the things in your life that you put faith in and you've never thought of it that way. You just know that you know it's right because you see it works. And I'm not even trying to tell you that that's on the basis of that you should put your faith in Christ because, again, the facts are there. The truth is there. But sometimes people say, well, I don't understand it, so I'm just not going to respond. Another lie from the enemy to keep you from responding to God. is because you don't understand God all the way. You don't understand all the little details. You don't have to understand everything. But I will say, though, I do recognize and I do value and I do validate the need to try to get your questions answered. But at least try to get your questions answered. Don't just accept what you're told. I'll tell you something. God wants us to seek and understand and accept the truth. He tells us that over and over in the Word. And again, that's why the last 21 years, my focus has been, as I shared last Wednesday night, like Ezra, the guy in the Old Testament. It says that his, to paraphrase, it says that his greatest desire was to understand God's Word, how to apply it to his life, and then share it with other people so that they could apply it to their lives. And that has been my goal in all of my ministry, not just here, to try to take God's Word and understand it to the best I can. And not just what it means, but how does it apply? And I'm going to apply it to my life, and I want to try to share it and explain it to those that are there so they can apply it to theirs. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:5, "Take every thought captive to obey Christ." Your mind is a major battlefield, spiritually speaking. Let's go on to the last one. Love the Lord your God. Love God with your hands. There's the other H. With your hands. You shall love the Lord your God with all your strength. What does this mean? Our love for God is not just expressed by our passion and by our intellect and our mental involvement and discussions, but it's lived out in everything we say and do. Just like I said earlier about our emotions, we can have all the emotions, we can have the experience, we can even study and learn and memorize. But if it doesn't affect our daily life, the way we live, we're still missing it. We live this out in obedience to God and in service to God. Christianity isn't just about experiences. It isn't just about what you know. It changes your life. And again, using that marriage relationship, Jan and I, we got the emotional experience. We learn more and more about each other. But you know what? You pair that together with, I want to do everything I can to make life best for her. I'm so very fortunate that that's the way she feels toward me. So it all works out really, really, really good. It changed my life meeting her and serving with her and ministering with her all these years. Paul says in Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." And the part that stands out to me is "in the name of the Lord Jesus." In other words, whatever you do, and it's not when you go to church, and it's not just when you go to church, it's when you're in your home, when you're at the workplace, when you're at school, when you're out in the community, keep in mind that you're a follower of Jesus if you are. And whatever you do, whatever you say, however you do it, however you say it, do it in the name of Jesus. In other words, I'm a follower of Jesus. He's right here with me, and I want to do it to glorify and honor Him. He goes on in the same chapter in verses 23 to 24. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." I want to tell you something. I've said this so many times, and I won't belabor the point. I so appreciate every single member of our church family. And every single one who has ever been a member of our church family, and all that you do, you serve so well. And I greatly appreciate those who do those things that are seen by others. And I'm so thankful that I know, at least all the people I can think of and I can remember, that they weren't doing it to be seen of others. They were in a position where they were seen by others, but they were doing it to please God. I shared humorously a true story. A man is a leader in our church. I won't say what his name is, Bob, but one day I was talking to him and I said, "Thank you for all you do." And he says, "Well, okay, but I'm not doing it for you." And I get that. I get that. But some of the people who've inspired me the most are not the people that are on the platform. I do greatly appreciate each and every one of them. The elders, the deacons and the deaconesses, and those who are up in front of people and all that, I do greatly love and appreciate each and every one of you. Those who serve behind the scenes, who never seem to get the glory. I've always joked the people that run the sound, they never get the glory. Everybody just looks at them when things don't go right, like a little while ago. Anyway, Earl's not back there right now. Earl, we love you and all the rest of the technical team. But I think about people like a man that comes to church here every single week early on a Sunday morning to trim everything up and to take out the blower and make everything look wonderful. And most of you don't even know that that's happened and know who it is. I think of the ladies, and there's been a number of them through the years. I'm not going to mention any names because I could never mention them all, who serve so faithfully in the kitchen during dinners and cook food and bring it and all that. I think of all the people who set up and tear down and clean up. And I could make a long list of all the things that happen behind the scenes. And I've tried to be very careful to convey to you that you deserve just as much glory and praise. And you will receive just as much reward when you get to heaven as those who are up in front of people all the time and do things that are a whole lot more obvious. But that's what God calls all of us to do, is to serve, to use our hands to show our love for God. I got to wrap this up. A supposed relationship with God that focuses just on heart is just emotionalism or sentimentalism. Christianity that is focused only on the head is intellectualism. But for Christianity to be alive, it's got to be lived out and put into practice in everyday life, in every part of life. A couple less bullet points and we're going to close. This passage says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And I just got it backwards. I'm focusing on the and. In other words, they're all important. I want to challenge you not to feel condemned, but not to say, well, I do pretty good on the first one, but the second and third, but I'm good on the first one, or that second one, or the first and the third. To say, God, how can I better love you in every single one of those three different areas? And he says, love the Lord your God with all. In other words, give it your all. That's a lifetime goal that none of us fully reach. The last thing I'll say is when the religious leader, this scribe, he actually, by the time got done, was not antagonistic anymore. He says, you're right, Jesus. That is the most important thing. And he said that. And Jesus said, you know what? You're not far from the kingdom of God. And I would just wrap everything up by saying that you can be here today, you can be watching online or watching and listening to this some later date. And you may know all this stuff, but just knowing the right answer is not enough. You need to know Jesus. You need to know Jesus. The Bible says that God desires a relationship with each and every one of us. But we are all sinners separated from God. And the wages of sin is death, which means separation from God, but not just in this life, but eternally. But that same verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, that's why Jesus came. He didn't come just to be a good teacher, give us some wonderful things to live by, to be a great example. He came to die. He lived a perfect life that we can't live and died a death he didn't deserve to pay the price for our sins. And the Bible makes it very clear that if we turn to him, if we repent of these sins that separate us from God, and put our faith in him and what he did for us, we can have a relationship with God. And many of you experienced that. And you're following him. And if you're here today and you have not, I would pray that you would make that choice, make that decision. Because God's drawing you. And you decide you want to start following him today. And start out on that journey to try to learn what it looks like to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. A new pastor is going to come. Things are going to change. And that's fine. In fact, that's probably good. Many things will look different. But this must never change. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. I want to thank you for allowing Jan and I to serve among you. As she said, you've loved us, encouraged us, forgiven our mistakes, walk with us through many seasons of life. And we'll be leaving grateful. And we will be leaving loving you. And we leave confident that God has wonderful things ahead for this church. And our prayer as we leave is that Marion Oaks Assembly of God will become known as a church that passionately loves God, deeply loves people, faithfully teaches God's word, and joyfully serves Christ. If that happens, And I believe God wants it to happen. I believe it will happen. The best days of this church are still ahead. I believe that. I believe that. Let's all stand together. I'm going to invite our prayer team to come. Because I'm going to pray, and my wife and I will go to the lobby, and I'm just going to challenge you. Don't leave until you've spoken with God. Until you've talked through some things that He's talked to you about today. Father God, we love You. We thank You, Lord, for Your love for us. God, we thank You for the privilege that we've had to serve here. And Lord, we thank You so much for the people we've been able to serve with. God, we haven't always got it right, either as pastors or as a group of people. I'm sure we've missed it plenty of ways. But I thank You for Your faithfulness, and I thank You for the times that we've sought You, and we've seen great things happen. Our children, our young people, our middle-aged adults, the young marrieds, the older marrieds, the older adults. Well, every age group is important to You, and we want them to be important to us. Thank You for all You've done. But God, I thank You by faith for all You're going to do. I add my prayers, as I have for months, for that new pastor You're going to bring. Guide and lead the process to the person. And God, prepare his heart even more, because I know You already are, for coming here and going forward. Touch each and every member of this church, each and every person that calls this church home. Give them a heart for You, but a heart of willingness to follow the new shepherd and to pursue You passionately. God, now as we take some time in Your presence, speak to us. Challenge us, encourage us. Draw us to a place of passion, commitment, love. And Father, again, I say thank You because You've been so good. In Jesus' name.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.